I'm telling you to focus. Hi, welcome back.
I'm focusing. Thanks.
Focus on me. Focus on the
no.
This podcast.
Welcome back to my domain, my house.
I am here. This is where I'm at. Where did you just get back from? Why don't you tell everybody?
I came back from my trip out west, LA. I just got back.
Anyway.
Well, I didn't just get back, right?
I mean, it feels
Saturday.
Like
Saturday.
It feels like
haven't
it.
Seen you since.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Saturday, got back from Saturday from my class.
And that was your birthday gift to yourself.
I'm such what's a nerdy thing to say? Like, oh, it's a birthday gift to myself. It's a class. It's not like an iPhone or I don't know, a toy or lap dance. It's a class.
A birthday present to myself, class. A lap dance. Well, you could have gotten a lap dance. You told me your buddy was like filming a movie or something in a strip club.
My buddy was shooting a pilot out there. And one of the days he was like, do you want to come with me? It's at a strip club called Jet.
Jet.
And it's near the airport, I think.
Jet.
LAX. And I was like, I would love to, but I can't. I got to go to the Groundlings for the class that I'm here for.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn it. And then he showed me a clip of it on like that night on his iPhone. And
you were like, I am missing out.
There was an alien just like throwing money and dancing with strippers. I was like, what channel is going to pick up this pilot?
The strippers were like, yes, I finally get to dance around like an alien instead of like a random sketchy dude. This is so much better than yesterday.
It was a, I'm sorry I missed it.
Aw, sorry you did too. But you took your sketch writing class, yeah? Not a sketchy class.
It was both. It was a sketchy sketch writing class.
Was it?
It wasn't sketchy, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did. It was,
but
it was fun.
It made you feel good about your sketch writing skills and... You feel like you knew, did you, you
it
were
was,
good?
It was about generating ideas.
Good.
And it was fun. It was, you know, meeting people. I think I was the only one that came, like, flew across the country for this
really?
Class.
They were like, this guy's fucking thirsty. Like,
this is, like, the children's class. What are you doing here? Like,
what?
For kids and high school students. Yeah.
Well, you got to bunk up with a friend. It wasn't like you, right?
I saw my friend Martha out there.
Yeah.
She works at WB, and it's like everyone works for someone out there, like in the industry,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's TV or film, and it was fun. But traveling sucks.
Traveling sucks. You don't like to travel?
No. Okay.
I thought you did.
Like I don't mind.
I mean, you are you're older now. What it is.
It's just flipped. It just flipped overnight. It was like all of a sudden I woke up.
I can't anymore.
I hate it now.
Yeah.
These are the things I hate. Cold oatmeal and and traveling. So you know, like going out to the West Coast is fine. It's coming back.
Yeah.
When
you lose all those hours.
Oh my God.
God,
yeah.
It's horrible.
It's the worst. So that's why. I'm
yeah.
Like, well, and you're tired when you get back.
We were gone at the same time, so therefore I knew that you weren't going to be on my case about recording because you were gone too, and I was in New York again. I feel like I've been going to New York more often recently, mm-hmm. but so I just went to New York again. I went for work.
I could go up there with you next time you go.
Yeah, it's fun. I always try to work
some
in.
Friends.
Yeah. I met up with a friend of ours that we used to work
mutual,
with, so that
right?
was good. I haven't mm-hmm. seen her in a few years.
So
and
you can drop her name.
Preeti, how you doing, girl? And then, but I always try to, no matter what I'm there for, I always try to work in a show or something. So last time I was there, I went and saw, so I bought tickets to see, so, you know, Dave Chappelle came back and he had like 20 fucking nights that he was doing at the Radio City Music Hall. And
he's in DC tonight.
Now he's in DC.
Tonight.
Yeah. I won't say it, but yeah, he's in
the building.
In a building. Mm-hmm. So I went all the way to New York to see him and I bought the tickets to see him and Chris Rock because Chris Rock's one of my favorite comedians of all time. And we went, and they took all of our phones and put them in neoprene cases and locked them when we got there. And so basically I went on the night where I'm pretty sure we got all the, there was a lot of surprise guests in all of his shows. So basically he had a headliner in every show, like one night, and it was a musical guest or a comedian. So like one night he had the Roots, one night he had Usher, whatever. But then he would surprise people. Like he brought out, I think he brought out like Ice Cube one night, and he brought out like all kinds of people. So on my night, we didn't know what was going to happen, but it was rumored, Eddie Murphy was going to come out, which I would have been so excited about. But he brought out Amy Schumer and Kevin Hart. So I was in that fucking
B team.
No, they were awesome though. We were all just like losing our shit. It was crazy. And
you were in that high.
It was such a high.
When you're in the audience or something, like they could have brought out
Like everyone is screaming their heads off. And I look at my girlfriends. I was like, I feel like I'm on the fucking Oprah show where she's like, you get a car and you get a car and you get a car. Like literally we all felt like we were winning cars left and right because the tickets weren't cheap. So like the more and more they were bringing out, you know, like big people and they were doing like full hour bits. Mm-hmm. So we were there for 4.5 hours, which is kind of amazing. And we didn't have our phones the entire time. Right? Yeah, we were in the theater the whole time. But so anyway, that was an incredible night in comedy. But then recently I was just up in New York and I went and saw another Broadway show because that's kind of my new thing. I'm trying to get as many of those in as I can. Yeah, I mean, and I've been going by myself, which I found out the perk of going by yourself to a Broadway show is you can get a single seat, usually like really close up front that's left by itself for like about, like if you wait and there's like one that's by itself, it's like $100 cheaper than all the rest.
Oh.
So I was in the third row and dude, Matthew Broderick was sitting next to me. He was like in a couple rows behind me and I got up to like bolt.
Not next to you.
Well, no, he was like two seats in, a couple rows back, and I got up to bolt up the aisle. I was the youngest person in the crowd. I went and saw War Paint, which is a story about Helena Rubinstein and Elizabeth Arden, who were the two first kind of huge female powerhouses in the makeup industry. And so it was really good. It was very like female empowerment. It was they had one song that was like "If I Were a Man," which definitely tugs at your heartstrings. It's like how hard it was for them, and then of course like the struggle when Revlon, Charlie Revson, kind of came up and was competing against them, and so it was really good. And but I got up and I turned around, and no offense, but there was like everybody had white hair in that audience, and I got up and I was like, let me run up, because I was in the third row. I was like, let me run up this aisle really fast, and I bumped into Matthew Broderick, and I was like, oh, and I just was looking at him like, I'm gonna act like I can't recognize him.
He was like, I'm trying to sell $100.
And by the way, he has totally like white hair now, but his face hasn't changed. It's still like Ferris Bueller, but all white hair. It is so crazy.
Some wrinkles.
I don't know though. Like there are certain men that do not age. It's so bizarre. You're one of them.
Well, wasn't his
you're one of them, Mickey.
Well, thank you. Why wasn't his wife Carrie there?
She wasn't. I don't know. She wasn't there. But he definitely
shooting season two of that show.
He kind of cut in front of me.
Divorce.
Huh?
She's shooting season two of Divorce.
Oh, the Divorce. Yeah, I wanted to watch that. Anyway, he walked up to the front, and I know he was going to wait to meet the two actresses that played the parts. And I was like, oh, the woman next to me was freaking out. And I finally hit her. I was like, hey, you're freaking out a little bit. She's like, I mean, that's Matthew Broderick. I was like, it's cool.
Some people can't handle it.
You know,
it.
Just chill.
You're like, I mean, you know, whatever.
You know, this
like
happens.
Do you know who I am?
I am Tracy Matthews of One Final Scare podcast.
What's the URL? It's really long. Just go to our Instagram account instead. It's easier.
Just Google me. Something will come up.
Yeah.
And it's Matthews with one T.
It will come up, actually.
I know.
Oh, yeah. All right.
The Broadway show was good. And,
You're not going to talk about?
No, I was going to say.
Something scary that you...
So that's something I just watched. But you just... I just wanted you to talk about Mother.
Yeah.
Because I've been trying to not ask you about it until now.
If I were you, I would stay away from looking at reviews. I know you sometimes.
I haven't.
Okay.
No. I haven't at all.
It's. I don't know, man. You just hear a lot of things about it right now. Like how some people, it's one of those movies. Like, either you love it or you hate it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost gone. My cough. I'm still recovering.
So if you listen to our last episode, did I tell you that Jeff said something?
Yeah. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? You're like texting me and you're like berating me.
Jeff was like, dude, Minky coughed a lot in the last episode. And I was like,
I was
what?
Sick. Okay. Jeffrey.
I went through every single minute and I gave you every single like edit cough to edit out. And then I was like, what? I thought I had him edit it all out. And Jeff was like, no, he coughs a lot. And I just crack up because you're like, you can't hear it.
I do say that. Because it wasn't like I looked at
you're
one
like,
point.
Oh, it's not registering.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't like registering. So it was so weird.
Right. Whatever. It's cool. You're better now. So anyway, mother.
Not 100%, but it was. So it was okay. So the movie.
So
was,
I should see it though. We should all.
Yeah,
see it.
I think so. I think so.
And it's you know not what? A horror film, right?
Not to us.
Yeah. Nah.
Yeah.
Is it more like psychological thriller?
It's thriller. Yeah, it's psychological thriller. Okay. It's got some quote unquote disturbing scenes.
Please.
I don't think it's, there was a scene where he like kind of raised my eyebrows,
mm-hmm.
but he shot that. So when I went to see the movie, this is just a technical thing. It's not giving anything away.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the projector was out of focus.
It really?
Was blurry, right? It was like really soft edges. And now movies are like, you know, they're shot 8K and then like,
yeah, but there's
projected.
Something with this soft edges thing that's happening.
No,
I was
no,
watching.
No. So let me finish real quick.
Okay, sorry.
So I was like, okay, he shot this on, it was shot on film. So yeah. It wasn't, it looked like it was on film. It wasn't digital. It had this really soft look. And so I was like, I was really curious. So I looked it up. Yeah, it was shot on handheld 16mm camera.
Really?
16.
Why?
It was an effect that it was a look that he wanted to go for.
Really?
I think because, I was going to say, maybe because it's smaller, the camera's smaller that you can, but then again, digital cameras are small nowadays.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know, but it's like, yeah, so they blew a color 16 onto a huge screen. The movie theaters are huge now. So I was like, oh my God, this thing looks blurry. But Jennifer Lawrence looked beautiful in this movie. It was like, no wonder, like, he, like, started dating her afterwards.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And it's, like, the camera point of, it's on her the whole time. Most, like, 90% of the time.
That's when he was falling in love with her.
Yeah. And she has to act, like, emote a lot up close. And I was like, well, this is a lot of work for her. Like, must have been grueling. And there's, of course, the disturbing scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good. It was good.
When we're off air, I'm going to guess. I'm just going to tell you out loud. But I don't want you to like acknowledge or say yes or no. But I feel like I'm going to guess what happens in the movie. What?
Okay.
I just like to do that sometimes.
Okay. Say no. Well,
I don't want to do that just in case I'm right. Because I hate that. Like, I don't want to do that. Because I've done that before,
but,
like where Jeff and I are watching a movie
I'm
and
not
I totally
tell you
guess
whether
the
you're
end.
Right or wrong.
No,
so
but I don't
want
to even like guess what I think it is if people listening don't
you're
know.
Wrong.
We only spoil the movie that we're talking about. So it's not scary, but what is scary? Your scary film? Did you finish writing your short, your horror short?
Yeah, I did. First draft. I did it on the plane, which was, you know, it's funny. Like, I get a lot done on the plane because, you know, you can't surf and there's not a lot to do. So,
yeah.
I read a lot of books that I have, mm-hmm. you know, that I carry with, you know. And I was like, at one point, and I finished the script when I was on there, and I was like, maybe I should just go home and just sell all my TV and my video game systems. So
make myself write more.
Yeah, so I can be more productive.
Productive, yeah.
Yeah, and then I come home, I'm like, oh, I gotta go watch Penny Dreadful. I need to relax.
In theory, it sounds like a good thing to do, but it's so hard, man.
It's hard.
I know. I do think about it though. Like, if we didn't have a television, what would I accomplish? It's not like I'm always home. I mean, I feel like
I'm internet. That's a big.
I don't use that as much as like you. Or probably Jeff. Jeff is always like doing something.
Yeah.
He's always got his face in his phone now, and there's like a time where I'm like, put it down, or whatever. And you know, and he plays his video games and stuff a lot on the computer. But yeah, no, whatever. So you finish your movie on the plane.
What?
You finish your movie?
Oh, the script. Yeah.
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 The script. And you bought a camera. Traded in your Oculus for a camera, so you are legit.
I'll just lay out all
just
my
lay
business.
It all, just
all
lay
my
that
business.
Shit out. What else did you buy?
I did. I bought my camera so I can start like just practicing.
Yeah,
which is funny because my friend Ryan was like, "I can help you. I can help you shoot. I'll bring my." He has better equipment, obviously.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I could just bring
the
my
guy,
equipment
the
with
guy
me.
The guy in LA?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I could bring my equipment with me. And I was like, well,
you're like, maybe I'll turn my camera back in.
Damn it. So I don't buy this camera. No. No, but it was a really good learning experience. Researching the camera and mm-hmm. all that. So
good.
It's fine.
You're just becoming more and more tech savvy by the day.
I know. It's stupid. Like, stupid knowledge. I'm not going to do. What do I want to do with that? Like,
you can do that sort of thing, and then I won't have to.
Just useless information. Nah, it's not useless, but,
useless. So, is your movie scary? Like, or is it a psychological thriller? No, I'm kidding.
I don't know. I would say it's kind of scary, I would think. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's okay. Short. I mean, it's like 10 minutes.
That's good.
Probably.
All right.
Maybe a little bit longer than that, but yeah.
And you're going to try to put it out in a film fest or something?
Yeah, next year.
Cool.
Next year. In early next year. We'll see.
All right. And then we all get to review Minky's movie and say whether we would recommend it to friends or not.
I'm just going to cry the whole time. We talk about it, I'm just going to be like, it sucks. I wanted to do this, but I couldn't do this. I wanted to do that, but I couldn't do that.
Wait, who the heck is it? Who was I talking to? God, my memory. But somebody I was talking to, it was like two people who reviewed movies left and right. And through that, they became movie makers. Because...
You talking about the story I told you about the French New Wave?
No.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I can't remember who was telling me this. But it was like... I feel so stupid that I can't remember who this was. I'll remember it. I'll come back later. But essentially, it's like... two reviewers, movie reviewers. I don't know if it's horror specific or just movie, but I guess, they would be like, oh, this movie sucked, or this movie was good, or this movie sucked. And so I think somebody was like, oh, can you do it better? And then
I told you that story about that's how French New Wave started.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. And then they wound up making movies. That was you? Was that on the last episode?
No, we didn't record it.
Are you sure?
Yes. Okay, it was just me telling you that's how the French New Wave started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Like,
well,
Lucadar and all them, I'm pretty sure they were like movie reviewers.
Okay, got it.
Because
you know me, like, I'm, as I said before, like, usually the Paula Abdul to your Simon Cowell, this, like, review situation.
They were film critics. That's what they were.
Yeah,
they weren't reviewers, but they were critics.
Got it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in some ways, you're always critiquing a film, no matter if you're reviewing it or not. But, and I do feel bad when we're like, oh, this movie wasn't great, or I didn't love it, or whatever. But, especially because we're putting it out there. So I think it's cool that you made a movie. You're making a movie.
Yeah.
And
the intentions are there. Let's see if I follow through.
Yeah. And then people get to leave it.
I'll send you a copy.
Okay.
So you can read it.
You know what else is really scary too? Speaking of somebody I brought up earlier.
That black man.
What?
You're about to say.
What?
I said black man.
You're black man?
Because he's a man. He's a black man.
I was like, did I hear you right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no. Just men that cheat on their pregnant wives. Like,
specifically?
That's kind of scary.
Specifically?
That's horrifying. That's probably the scariest of all horror
things. Who are you talking about?
Kevin Hart, man.
Black man.
Well, that's kind of fucked up. But look, I was so excited to see him, and he was so good. And I think I told you, like, his hour-long bit was fucking hilarious. And it was all about his family. And he talked about, like, how his current wife, who is now pregnant, wanted so badly to have a kid with him. Because, of course, he's got two kids with his previous wife, right? So he tells a whole story. It's literally his longest bit. He's one of those, like, long joke tellers, right? Like, he's in a
story.
It's a mm-hmm. story. And it's all about how a friend dropped off this baby. And it is a great baby. And he calls it great baby like 70,000 times because he talks so fast. He's like, and I said, great baby. So he's like going on. So he said, basically, this little baby proved that a 2-year-old doesn't have to suck, because he's like, I just don't want a 2-year-old again. I don't have to deal with a 2-year-old. So essentially, his wife wanted to have a kid. And he was like, I don't think I want to. But of course, then, surprise, she was pregnant. So that was the end of the story. Like, he decided, yes, okay, fine, they'll have a kid together. So this is a great story. Well, that fucking month, he went to Vegas and cheated on his wife, which apparently, he does all the time.
Because
that's why his first wife left him, infidelity. And And his wife is fucking gorgeous. Like, I just don't even understand.
I'm sure they all are.
No, his own wife, though, is gorgeous. Like, what? Why? I just don't get it.
What I meant by that is I'm sure the first wife was as well.
Yeah, I actually don't know what she looks like. But anyway, he went to Vegas and somebody recorded he and this chick, like, having sex, apparently, is what it says. But he had to publicly make an apology on Instagram. He did put out, like, an Instagram video.
Oh, my God.
What are you messing with down there? What are you messing with?
My mic, kidding.
So he goes online and, like, is very publicly apologizing and saying how, basically, he's like, nobody's gonna get money from me for doing, like, making mistakes, because I guess the story is that this woman had someone
record this happening, right?
Well, no, like,
getting
so
in front of.
It's basically, he's saying that this woman entrapped him in a way to have someone videotape it so that she could extort him and get money. And no. She's coming out with her lawyer saying that is absolutely false and that they have no idea who recorded it and she does not want money from him. But so then he came out and was like, you're not going to, yeah, and to get in front of it.
Get in front of it,
and
right.
He's like, no one's going to get money from me for a mistake I made. And he goes, basically, and this is, you know, I've heard guys say this, but he says, I shouldn't be putting myself in situations where bad things are going to happen. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why can't you keep your dick in your pants? Just because you're at a bar in Vegas. What is up with that shit?
I mean, it's a rhetorical question, right?
Because, no, I mean, it is, yeah. But I still just don't get it. I really don't get it. I remember Jenny McCarthy once. She had, I think it was a show or something. She was like, why? I want everybody to respond, like, why do men cheat?
Yeah.
Right. Well, the movie we watched tonight, or the movie we watched to discuss tonight, because we didn't watch it tonight. We watched it, like, 3 weeks ago, dude. I think it was like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, man.
It's been a while.
So
but,
bear with us.
The movie that we watched for this episode,
Choppy Recall.
Choppy Recall. Like our first episode. Every time is like the first time. House on Willow Street is the movie. And luckily there's no nasty sexual anything.
No,
this is just straight up like, this is a demon movie. It's just a demon movie.
Yeah.
So that's the entity in this movie. So House on Willow Street. How did we pick this, by the way? I have no clue.
I do.
Okay, tell me, because
I was like,
Lord knows I can't remember.
I was like, what is this poster? Remember? It's got an,
once again falling for the shopping. Yeah. Like,
I mean, when you're like. That's how you look, though. You watch that,
the trailer
seems interesting. And from the trailer, it seems like it's one of those movies where, like, the character flips it on you, right? Like Home Alone. right? It's like, oh, this helpless child. And that.
Oh, you're saying this movie has a twist like that?
Yeah, it's like thematically,
Got
right?
It.
And
mm-hmm.
So, and that's how the trailer sold it. And it is.
Yeah.
But.
I think you picked it because of
the poster.
I think you picked it because of the actress
from Your Next.
Yeah, because you love her.
Love is a strong word.
Well,
and I love the movie Your Next.
I know you're really we've talked about it many times. You're obsessed with it a little bit. It's cool, but I think you really love her.
Obsessed with it?
Yeah, I love it.
I wouldn't say that.
How many times have you watched it with another person?
Four times.
That's a
five
lot.
Times?
That's a lot. That's a lot. To be like, hey, you should watch this movie. Like,
it's good.
You're like the personal promotion man for that movie. So, Sharni, her name? Vinson. Sharni Vinson, who's Australian. She's not been in a ton of movies, but this is actually like a handful of horror movies now in her list of filmography.
Aged.
So you are horrible. And this is exactly why I have this is why when we sit down and hit record and you're trying to take photos, I mean, one, distracting me, two, making me feel bad about myself because you're going to capture all my wrinkles. Because yes, sir, the second we hit play, you were like, damn.
Okay.
And then you were all like, how old is she now? And she's my age. And so then I started freaking the fuck out because I was like, great, now Mickey's going to start looking at my face. They're pointing out my wrinkles.
Okay. You done?
Am I?
I don't know.
Tell me.
Because you were on the same boat with me that day.
I wasn't on the same boat.
Oh, absolutely.
I was in a little thingy behind you.
I might have been driving the boat, but you were definitely on the boat catching a tan on the back.
Okay, but
please.
You wouldn't drop it, though. You were like, you were just so
distracted.
I was shocked.
I mean.
But then I said to you, like, tell me I didn't say this.
What?
I said, why are you not talking about how, like, gruff all the men's faces look?
There's no context. We didn't see their
face. Doesn't matter. They all had deeper wrinkles than her.
It just sucks. But you don't. You know the difference because we just saw them. We just saw her on your neck. Not just,
well,
but like
that
we
was
saw
like
her
several
yeah.
years ago now. But
yeah.
So yeah. So
the other guys, we've never even seen them before. No, ever.
True. I get it. Yeah. But would has there ever been a man where you were like, damn, look at those bags under his eyes?
Yeah.
Who?
We just talked about Matthew Broderick being really old, his hair turning
but
all gray.
But I said he hasn't, no, I said his face hasn't changed at all.
Okay, but you just said they were all gray when I turned around. They were all, I was the
all
only
the
one
people
with,
in the audience
with pigment in my hair. I was the only one.
I definitely picked an older crowd Broadway show for sure on that
so,
one.
So, yeah, absolutely. Even if, yeah, imagine, like, there was an actor I just saw recently. I was like, wow, he's aged big time. I can't not put my finger on it now.
Sean Connery.
There's a reason why he quit. Like
I saw a picture of
him
and I couldn't believe it.
Why was there even a photo of him? I thought he was like out.
I don't know. I just saw one recently. I was like, holy shit. Yeah. He's lost like a ton of weight and he looks really old to me. It's scary. It's sad. But yeah.
He's like just, yeah. Whatever. It's just, yeah.
He's had a long ride.
It's just shocking when you don't see them for a while and then you go, oh, wow.
I know. And you're shocked when you see a girl that you used to think was hot and all of a sudden she's
I never
all, like,
thought she was hot.
Face
I just
is
the
melting.
Movie was good. Oh, my God. You just, okay.
All right. Whatever. All right. Let's get right to it. So you picked the movie. I was like, cool, whatever.
It was an awesome poster.
Google it if you care. So then we found out it was a South African movie when we actually hit play because it had a bunch of credits in the beginning about South Africa. So just so you know.
They have a horror.
This one
is horrible.
Okay, you good? You good there? This one was much better than that fucking movie that you made me
Dracula
watch.
Dracula 2000?
No, 3000.
3000.
In the year 2000. Yeah. So,
it's Ryan's favorite episode.
That's insane. That's incredibly ridiculous, but whatever. So this was a movie from South Africa, and I was all like, oh, good, maybe we can redeem Dracula 3000. All right. Hopefully we can do this without forgetting too much. But so it starts with the movie. Okay, first it was 2016. Is there anything else we need to know?
No,
I know this was a cold open. Just like boom.
No, I'm saying the movie.
Oh,
starts
the movie
like that.
Is.
Yeah,
oh,
it's
yeah,
cold,
yeah.
Like,
it is a cold open. So there's basically like it reminds me very much of the beginning of 13 Ghosts, the remake. If you guys remember it, there are like pictures on walls burning and then a doll burning and there's all these things burning up just like that opening scene in 13 Ghosts. So it's like you get the idea that some house has burned down, all right? And all of a sudden a woman wakes up and sits up and it's your girl Sharni.
Like mother.
Oh, give it away. And so a girl sits up in a bed like kind of, you know, out of her sleep and you see that her entire shoulder is completely burned. It, like from a long time ago, it's scarred from a burn. And she has a TV playing behind her, and it's like a video camera, whatever you want to call it. It's like a like a surveillance video.
Oh, so the movie doesn't say it, but I think it takes place like in the 90s, right? We
talked I think
about
it's
that,
just
right?
South Africa, dude. No, I'm serious.
I know, but okay, but the movie doesn't say it takes place in South Africa.
I know, but what I'm telling you is like. You said that, and I was like, I just think things look older there. Seriously.
I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
I know.
I do. How about this? At the end, don't do it now, but see if it's supposed to take place in a different time period. Okay. I don't think it does.
All right.
But anyway, so she has a TV on mute, like in her room.
It's like a tube TV.
And it's so bizarre because it's like showing... like a woman and a man in a room and the woman's mouth is gagged. So I'm like, wait, is this what she binge watches television on? Like, what the fuck?
It's tight.
So anyway, then the movie just like quickly gets to it where I wrote they're in a kidnapping planning room. So like it's her and her name is Hazel, which I like. And then it's her boyfriend, Aid's cousin James, and then this dude named Mark. Mark mm-hmm. looks like the heavy, if you will, and yeah. James is like the asshole, and Aid is the good-looking boyfriend.
Very cardboard typical.
It's like you
got to
pick all your characters, right? So they're all in this kidnapping planning room, and they're like very serious, and they're like, "Look, guys, this is our last job. And if we do this right, we'll never have to do it again. It's going to be, this is the last one and we have to do it. And essentially what they're planning on doing is like they want to kidnap the daughter to a man who owns like a diamond. I don't know if it's a diamond mine or a diamond shop or what. I don't know. But she's a diamond heiress. Okay.
Yeah.
And so they're talking about.
I think mining, right?
I guess. I don't know. Because they're in South Africa. So it makes sense. Yeah. It is in South Africa. What are you talking about?
And they never say, does it?
The place? It doesn't say it, but it's in South Africa. what I said to you is the movie is so nondescript in terms of location that you're just in a house and then you're in a warehouse the whole time. So you don't see like location anywhere. But yes, it's in South Africa. So anyway. Okay, ready? So they're talking about how they have to do this though because there's this also this very serious thing that's going on. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. Like they just shoehorn it in. They were like, oh, well, James is going to go to prison soon.
Oh, yeah.
And you and I were like, what? Yeah. So apparently he accidentally killed his brother, George. We don't know George. We don't know why or how. It was just like, dude, I'm going to go to prison soon, you know, so we need to do this so that
he needs some money to flee.
They're all going to flee. And so anyway, it's a scene to establish relationships and it quickly gets to the point about what they're doing. And then it shows on the screen 6 weeks later. So apparently it only takes, let me ask you this.
What?
It took us how many weeks to plan a podcast? Does it really only take 6 weeks to plan a kidnapping of a diamond heiress?
Well, they do say we rushed it, right?
They did. But yeah. 6 weeks, man. I feel like I can't get shit done in six weeks.
Yeah.
You and I haven't seen each other in like three.
Yeah. I mean.
That's like, could we kidnap half a person right now?
If you were a pro, you could probably do it in 6 weeks.
You think?
Right? Yeah. But if you're like a bunch of amateur South Africans.
I mean, she does watch it like on her downtime on a TV video, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we're 6 weeks later and we're in a van, the kidnapping van. And they're all like chilling, ready. They got their guns, they got their masks, and they're like, let's do this shit, you know? So they go into this house on Willow Street, and it's in a suburban area, right? And there's no alarm system activated. There's an alarm, but it wasn't activated, and it was fairly easy for them to get into the house.
Yeah. Oh my God, I can't.
You can't remember.
Remember
so
all of this.
Folks, I just want to let everyone know I will be doing the majority of the description, but Mickey will jump in as necessary.
No.
So they get in the house pretty easily, all of them, right? Are they all in the house?
Yeah.
Okay. So wait, she's not left in the van, Hazel?
As a lookout?
Maybe, I don't know. Doesn't matter. So there's like, they go into one room and they see people sleeping. So you're assuming it's the parents, right? And so the guy shuts the door ever so gently so that, and he locks it. He takes the key from the inside of the door and he locks it from the outside. And then there's this old photo on the wall. And one of the guys, I don't know who, it doesn't matter, kind of stops to stare at it. And it's a picture of, presumably, the girl that they're going to kidnap.
The girl, yeah.
And she's just kind of standing there. And she's just looking directly at the camera. And then they're all walking around this house, like, you know,
Flashlights,
right. And one of the dudes sees all these weird-ass symbols kind of drawn on the wall. I can't make many of them out, although there was a pentagram, of course, because we all had to know that it had to do with, like, demonic, right?
Oh, it gave hints to it.
And as this one dude is in the room by himself and he sees the pentagram, the girl that they're there to kidnap jumps up. It's a total jump scare, which is Minky's favorite. And this movie is riddled with
them. She just rises from the back.
Yeah, and she kind of, like, she jumps up and he grabs her. It happens like, really quickly. They just, the other guy comes in and kind of grabs her from behind, and then she's boom, thrown in the van. So it's like cut shot into the van.
And she looks like distressed, but she has like,
she's
all dirty and like
she looks
cut up a little bit.
She looks like she's been rolling around like in the pig pen outside a little bit. Yeah. So, which is weird because shouldn't she be in bed sleeping?
Yeah.
So they get her in the back of the van. She's screaming. I think they throw a bag over her head, and they immediately take her to this warehouse that they're kidnapping warehouse.
With multiple cameras and
they have all the cameras set up. Which why do they have to have a ton of cameras set up?
this because they're going to make something there.
I know, but think about it, because this just hit me. You've got Mark, our kind of heavy, in a room with all these cameras, watching a girl in a room that's handcuffed to a chair. Why wouldn't he just be in the room watching her? It's so stupid.
Well, it's just that it's what the way they have it set. It's like security cameras.
I know, multiple but why? Angles, if they're all there like 24 hours a day, and they're just going to make this thing quickly, like why does he have to be watching her from the other room? On the camera. It's really dumb, actually. Anyway, so Mark's watching her, and he, you know, they do this movie. You don't have an opportunity. Once again, this is one of those movies where it's like you don't get deep with these people at all, but they do try to tell you one bit of information about their family each, right? And so with Mark, he has this little photo of his daughter that he puts on the computer screen or the television prompt or whatever. And I wrote down it was to humanize him. Like, we're slowly, like, learning that all these people kind of have something or some person that they care about. And I don't know why, but, okay, so they have everything set up. Her name is Catherine, by the way, the girl that they kidnapped. And he's watching her, and then I think it's James is kind of searching through the hallways because he hears something, the hallways of this warehouse. So he's kind of off by himself, and he sees a shadow. And when he sees a shadow cut, the lights turn off.
Yeah.
And when he turns, there's a woman completely covered in blood, and I write, oh, jump scare. So, and she's got gashes all over her. And I will say, whatever the movie lacks what do you want to call it? The jump scares, right? The effects of the whatever, like this person and other kind of dead people that we see. It's good. Yeah. Like they did a good job. And so she looks pretty scary. This was the woman in the like the leopard, the animal print, right? Which we find out later is his dead mother, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Just letting you know.
So already we have questions, right? Because. Yeah. We think it's a heist movie, and we know from the trailers that the table gets turned.
Yeah.
But then the outside forces are like, there's like this ghost entity that they're showing up. So we're like, what the heck is going on?
Like, what is this dead person doing?
So that part was interesting in the beginning. Like, wait, what's going on?
And they keep introducing these dead people, you know, like the scary.
Throughout the movie.
And you're kind of like, huh? So we see this woman, and it's a jump scare, and the scene just cuts. And, basically, she's like, look.
Well, they go back to the girl and they threaten her.
They go back to the girl. And so she's Catherine. Catherine's saying, look, if you return me, like, you'll be unharmed. And, you know, but but they see her face and Hazel freaks out. Hazel goes over to her boyfriend and she goes, dude, what the fuck? We have to put her on a ransom video where we tell her parents that she's completely unharmed. Dude, you guys punched the shit out of her. And he goes, no, she already looked like that. Yep. And she's like, what? And she's like, something is not, I'm totally improvising here, but I just remember the sentiment was like, what? Excuse me? So she's freaking out because she's like, why did you guys kick the shit out of this girl? And they were like, no, something's definitely off. Like she looked like that already. And she's like, no way. She's like, what the fuck? Like, this is not, something is off, right? So she's kind of like, then maybe we need to return her because something's going on. And
well, they're not that freaked out. You make it sound
she
like,
was. No, she was. She was the first and only. You know, there's always got to be like what you call a soothsayer, right? Like, don't do this. Don't go forward. And her boyfriend goes like, no, stick to the plan. Like, we've got to stick to the plan.
Yeah. It's like,
so
that's rational, right?
So they videotape her. And she's not going along with it at first. And, they finally say, look, listen, stop looking, listen, you're not going to get hurt. What?
Nothing. Go
ahead. Oh, they were like, you're not going to get hurt. We just out of formality. This is how our ransom videos work. They work. We're going to get money from your dad. Just like we promise we're not going to hurt you. Just please hold this newspaper up kind of deal and just say your lines for us. Please, pretty please. So she does. They say if she does that, they'll let her go. And then she's like, look, if you let me go, it'll be better for everyone. And they were like, oh, Hazel even shows her like their guns. And they're like, look, we have no bullets. We're definitely not going to kill you. So just let you know, we are unarmed.
This is the stupidest thing you could do.
So they record her and she's like, daddy, mommy, like help me out, please. These people have me. And then they send it And what they're doing is waiting for the phone call to come back.
And doesn't.
Well, nobody
of
calls.
Duh.
And there's nothing. And so then they call the house.
Like, these criminals are like,
they're like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to call you now. Wake yeah. up. Did they forget that they locked the parents in the room?
Yeah.
Remember?
And they act like they've done this multiple times. Like
if they don't call for the ransom, that they're going to call
no, I just
at
meant
their
like,
house.
As like this heist and, you know.
Yeah.
Doing, you know, like this criminal gang.
Yeah. So they, as soon as they call and there's no answer, their bright idea is to go back to the house. They're like, fuck it. We're just going to go knock on their door and just say, hey, mom and dad, we've got your daughter.
Did you see them? Did you? They were sleeping in the, whatever,
yeah.
in the bed.
So they go back. It's who goes back? It's
the brother. The two brothers go back.
The cousins. James and Aide.
The cousins, yeah.
Okay. So James and Aide goes back. And they basically... They go back into the house and...
Well, they go back. They're searching around the house.
Searching around the house.
Right.
And the second they walk into the house, they're like, what is that smell? Why does it smell like dead bodies? Yeah. And why is there like food decaying in the kitchen? And you and I were like, how did they not see this shit
the
when they were all
time,
searching
yeah.
the house the first time, right?
Yeah. Maybe they're focused on searching for her.
Yeah.
But then this is that part where he, like, the same guy goes down the hallway, sees that photo of the picture.
And
but then,
the photo, the girl that they, and basically the person in the photo we find out was Catherine, the girl that they kidnapped.
Yeah.
And when he looks at her.
And you knew there's going to be a recall to this photo.
Yeah, right. Because I was like, there's a reason for this. So mm-hmm. like in the photo is actually like a different photo now where she's just like facing to the left.
It's the same photo.
It's the same
she's
photo,
facing.
She's just like,
she's
like a
turned.
Different angle.
Yeah, she's turned in the photo.
And at this
so
point.
He's like, what?
I think at this point they flash back to Hazel at the warehouse and she goes in to check on Catherine and she can't find her.
Before, but yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Sorry. So she goes in and check Catherine and she's in the corner hiding.
Yeah.
And when she turns around, I wrote flash of a scary face. So I guess there's like a terrifying face.
Yeah.
And but then she's gone. And I think her face is beginning to deteriorate a bit more. It's like looking worse as if more people have beaten her or and she's getting like sickly looking and she basically is like, you should let me go or you're all gonna die tonight, you know. It's like, okay, the threatening thing has happened.
Yeah.
So basically,
and he cuts back to the house and that guy who sees, he's like, look, he sees the photos and she's turned, he's kind of like, what? And he starts to search other rooms and it's empty, so he comes back out and looks at the photo again and this time she's turned back. And she's smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, and he, like, she's smiling. She turned forward, but she's smiling. So he's like, freaks out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then,
starts to breathe heavy.
Like, freaking out because he knows some shit is going on. So back in the warehouse, let me just get through this before I forget. So back in the warehouse, Catherine grabs Hazel. She grabs her and she starts saying these words out loud. She's like, he comes in my dreams, he can't take my soul, all you can do is scream and scream. And Hazel starts crying and she's like, how do you know that song? And Catherine goes, I know a lot. And she goes, like, your parents died in that fire and you blame yourself. So the things that we saw burning in the
guilt.
Beginning, it's guilt, right?
Yeah.
Survivor's guilt. And she presumably was a little girl when her parents died and she survived. And she goes, and I know why you kidnapped me. And you know, something about, like, it's dumb, though. You shouldn't have done this. And at this time, we also...
Did we watch this together? I can't remember.
Yeah, we did. Downstairs. So, then Mark is the guy, as I said, that's kind of the video monitor dude. And he hears a noise. He hears a crying noise. And he looks at the picture of his daughter so that we know, like, what's to come, right?
Yeah.
We have to be led down this hallway as well. And he's like, hello? And as he basically is walking,
hello?
Like, all these three things keep flashing back and forth, but I'll just finish it. Like,
thing, yeah.
He walks down a hallway, a dark hallway, and his little daughter, Sarah, who now we must know has died, is standing with her face up against a dead end. And he's like, Sarah? And she turns around, and it's like a frightening, scary, like, screaming face.
Yeah.
She's, like, terrifying looking,
yeah.
right? And he freaks
Wait,
out.
Does she have, like, a gun wound?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. But she's dead. So I don't know how.
Yeah.
And so he's freaking out. And then she disappears, I want to say.
Or she drowned or something. I
have no idea.
Yeah.
So back to the guys in the house. Basically, they split off, and as the one guy goes back into the parents' bedroom who locked him in previously, goes in, he lifts over the covers because he's like trying to rile them up, and they won't. They're completely dead. They've been dead for a while. Maggots everywhere. All right. The same time this is happening, the other dude is in the basement, and he finds two bodies of two priests, and you know this because they have the whatever that thing is around their neck.
Cross?
No, the little shit.
I don't know. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
One of them has a cross.
Yeah. The little white collar. Yeah, collar. I'm so not religious.
It's fine.
Anyway, so they see the picture. They see the two dead bodies separately, basically. And you would think that they would go running out of the house, like screaming crazy people. But instead, the guy upstairs comes downstairs and he's like, dude, I just found two dead bodies. And he's like, me too. And they find all these videotapes and recordings. And they find a recording and they, I think, don't they start playing something there or no?
No. So that one guy, he looks at the photo again for the third time.
Oh, God. And she's like.
And she's back to normal.
Oh, didn't she? Yeah. Oh, right.
And then he goes and he's like, oh, he relaxes.
It's all in my mind.
Yeah. And then he turns.
Jump scare.
Yeah. And then big fat guy with the glasses all over. Like, he's all mangled.
Oh, my God. Yeah. His eyes, like, halfway down his face.
Yeah.
His face
he's like,
and he's like, so that's dead George.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll just tell you. So that's the dead brother. And I guess what happened was there was a car accident, right? And that's why...
did they leave him to die or something?
Well, he died. He died in the car accident. And I guess he... I think what happened... It doesn't matter. He died in a car accident. It was because of James's fault.
Yeah.
And that's why he's going to go to prison for it.
Yeah.
Maybe he was drunk driving. Who knows?
And that's what makes them... forces them to run out of the house.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And he goes... And he saw it by himself, right? James saw him by himself. And so they start running out and they grab these videotapes and they were like, we got to get the fuck out of here because the cops are going to think that we killed all these people. And I started laughing. I was like, they've already touched like everything in the house. What do they think getting out is going to do? So they get out. They say like, let's go. And they're driving fast down these back roads like in every scary movie, right? And what happens when you're driving really fast in a van in a scary movie? Like, oh, you hit something. So, Fat George, the ghost, jumps naked in front of him naked and they flip the truck. Which is obviously like the good way. It's George's way of getting back, right? Because like presumably whatever happened in the car accident was not good. And that's why he's got glass in his eye. So they flip the truck and basically they start crawling out of the... Oh, you know what? Sorry, my notes. This does feel like the first episode. When Mark saw his daughter, the reason why he said gunshot is because she turned around and was like, Daddy. And he freaked out when she turned around and had these huge eyeballs and he shoots it.
Yeah.
And he was like, what the fuck? I liked his response because it was an appropriate response. Like, literally, you would say, what the fuck was his daughter.
It wasn't like, it didn't look like his daughter.
No,
it was
huge,
like
freaking bulging eyeballs.
Goonies guy.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So the dudes in the van, they're crawling out. What's his name? I might be getting these people mixed up. Oh, it doesn't matter. One of them killed George. The other one has the mom that I said has like the leopard print.
Aide is the one that killed
George. Oh, is that it? I've been saying James this whole time. Sorry,
guys. James is the one that
douchebag. Yeah, with the mom. Okay.
So he gets out of the van.
And he sees his mom.
Yeah, he stumbles out. They're like, oh, they're all dazed. And he's like, let's go back to the warehouse. Walk back. And he's like...
He sees Mommy Dearest.
Yeah, another jump scare.
It's another jump scare.
Constant fucking jump scare.
It is repetitive like a motherfucker. So he sees her and she... This is the first time, though, that we see this really amazing... You know what? Talk about CGI. I hate on CGI, but this tongue was pretty good.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Basically, this demon... Sorry, I'm jumping. These are ghosts, but there's a demon spirit kind of about them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this disgustingly long, horned kind of...
Like alien.
Or like prickly tongue with like these edges all over it. It comes out of its mouth and it's like fucking long and
like a snake
swirling around. And then it basically goes into someone's mouth to, in a sense, infect them to become... possessed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the mommy dearest is trying to stick her tongue down, which is just so fucked up. Down through James's mouth, right? And
succeeds.
And it's gross. And
he
did not like it. He didn't like it at all.
Take it, James.
And
and it cuts back to the warehouse.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and when it cuts back to the warehouse, basically now we're understanding that like Aide is seeing dead George, yeah. James is seeing dead mom, and guess who Hazel starts to see?
She goes down to the basement of the warehouse.
Right,
yeah.
And she's seeing like these burning little ashes in the air, and she sees a glimpse going around the corner of her burned mom. And she looks up and there's writing on the ceiling that says, "Leave and save yourself." And
I think it's funny, like, how everyone has like this dark guilt past that they're trying to like suppress.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the chance of that?
Well,
they all had that in that group.
Everybody's got a dead relative, right?
Yeah. And it's not just dead relative, though. It's just like how they died.
Like majorly dead.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know how.
Like, tragic.
Actually, he said he killed his mother. Remember that?
No, I didn't catch that.
He killed his mom. So that's why she's back to stick her tongue down his throat. Because that's the appropriate way to get back at somebody for killing you. But so she basically is like freaking out. She saw her dead mom and all of a sudden, jump scare, she has an arm on her shoulder and she turns around and it's Mark. And Mark is like, "Dude, I just saw my daughter. I don't know what to say, but I just saw my dead daughter and shot at her." So then James and Aide, they're like trying to come back, and James says like, "My mom, she came back to fuck me over one more time." And that's when Aide goes, "Dude, she's dead. What are you talking about?" Now I'm like, why would he disbelieve James for seeing his mom if he just saw dead fat George? So he's like, "Dude, she's dead. You took care of that bitch years ago." And then they're like, "Let's get back to the warehouse."
I mean, he must have been, what do you call it? Abused, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, she was wearing animal print, which I wear animal print.
See, if you had kids, you would abuse them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so as soon as they get back to the warehouse, dude, James starts foaming at the mouth because that's what that nasty-ass tongue did to him. It makes you foam at the mouth. And they start telling everybody that there's dead bodies in the house and that there was this priest and
he starts to freak out.
They also,
James, remember, he starts to like,
yeah, well, and he's
like go crazy, like, and they put
frothing.
Him away.
Yeah, and they put him away.
They put him away in his own separate
room. So they hand off these videotapes that they found in the basement, right? And they start watching them, I think. And it's a self-recording.
It's porn. That would be a different type of movie. It's Kevin Hart and what's his name.
So basically we see Catherine doing kind of like a video blog of herself. And she's looking directly in the camera from her bedroom. And she's like, "I think I messed up. I found this sign in the basement from the early 1900s.
We talk about how like she looks like that girl from VHS.
She looks totally like the girl from
Siren.
Yeah, I like you. I thought it was her. We had to look it up. But anyway, she says that in the early 1900s, there was a strange death in this house. And she said that there was a guy that lived in the house that took a cheese grater to his throat in the bath. Then the wife gouged out her own eyeballs and poisoned her own children. And then she goes through like all these deaths that have happened in the house, like, which is totally like The Shining, right? So something is getting to them and making them do these terrible things. And she's like, "Then my dad's business partner lived here and it burned down.
The house burned down.
And there was a girl named Hazel who was the only survivor." And that's when all the men looked at Hazel and they were like, "You lived there?" And
she lifts her shirt. Like she lifts her shirt and there's all those.
Catherine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Catherine picks up like exposes to the videotape that she self-recorded and was like, "I don't know what these marks are in my stomach."
And it's the same marks that was on the
wall.
On the wall.
Like these scary symbols.
Yeah.
So
what do they look like? UFO
crop marks.
Yeah.
Crop circles. Yeah. So then Catherine and her videotape.
It's bleeds and crap marks.
Slugs. And So Catherine's like talking to herself and she's like, "I know this sounds crazy, but if you move into this house and you're grieving, there's this ghoul that will just take over your soul. And I'm grieving." What was she grieving over anyway? Did she say?
Mm-mm, I don't remember.
Maybe she's just a depressed 20-something. She was like, I had this taken out of me. Oh, duh. No, she had an abortion. She said, I had this taken out of me and nobody knows. And she showed a sonogram. So she had an abortion. And then she showed the carvings in her body. And she said, and I'm hearing voices. So she was grieving over the fact that she had an abortion and had hid it from everybody. Okay. So then James from the other room starts screaming. And I think he starts spewing blood.
He does. I think she's communicating with him. She's like talking. They're cutting back and forth.
Like from one room to the other. Yeah. She's like tied to him.
Yeah.
So then they watch another tape, and this tape is a consultation of an exorcism of Catherine, and they're saying like that there's this spiritual force field that's kind of blocking her from being exorcised, and the parents are like, why is this happening to our daughter? Like, and the priests are just like, I don't know, but we're gonna tie this shit down. We gotta tie her down. And she starts like spewing black blood out of her mouth, and she's like, Mom. Mm-hmm. And the priests are saying that basically there's a demon that is like a leech on her soul, and that there's a name called Tromgul. This is a Tromgul, and it brings your worst nightmares to life.
Sounds like it's like a craft beer.
Yeah, true. This Tromgul is 6.5% alcohol. Yeah, yeah. So apparently it brings your worst nightmares to life, and it wants to manifest in true form. And in order to do so, it must consume four souls to represent the four corners of hell. Did you know that hell was a square?
No.
I mean, if space is infinity. Square.
It's a diamond.
Oh, it could be. It's true. You're right. So he says that that basically once this happens, that he will be, he being Tromgul or the demon. Ew, get your feet off my feet. I don't even let Jeff touch my feet. Basically, at this point, the demon can walk the earth. Okay, so duh. And so the parents are like, well, how do we beat it? And they're like, well, just to let you know, we got to burn your bitch. Yeah. We got to burn your daughter alive. Because
she says,
we can't, and we can't let it take more souls, because then literally like shit is done. Like this world is over if we let this happen. And they were like, she's too far, too gone. You cannot save your daughter. Sorry. And we have to,
nothing interesting. We have to kill her. This whole process.
Yeah. You don't feel bad for anything right now. It's just like, and they're flying through this, which I'm not a terrible, like I'm not terribly upset about, but it's kind of like you don't care. You don't care. You don't feel bad for the girl. You don't feel bad for the parents.
Well, they're just like cardboard characters, right?
Totally. Yeah. 100%. So they're like...
just like Dracula 3000.
Right. So the parents are crying as they've just been told literally right in one moment that their daughter has to burn alive, while the priests are just starting to pour gasoline on her, and they light a flame just like that, just in this moment in time, and the flame blows out. And at that moment, a really cool effect happens. Do you remember?
Mm-mm.
So they're in a basement, and all these garden tools come up off the wall, and they all like float, and then of course they all fly towards all the humans in the room, all four humans in the room at the same time. So
and
that's how they all die.
Impaling them in the neck
everywhere.
Slicing them in the neck,
it's like Hellraiser shit.
Yeah.
So that's how they all die, and we see all of that, of course, on a video camera. Which who was holding the videotape? I would like to know. Or video
it was on a tripod.
It was it. So fucking cheesy. And then like, how is this videotape sitting outside of a video camera so that they grabbed? It's so lame.
She took it out. It was a trap.
It was a trap, wasn't
it? Was a trap.
No, I don't think it was. She was like, let me go, man. So
and then we cut back to
No. What's really cool, the very, very last part of the video is Catherine looks at the video, because remember, she's like tied up on the chair.
Yeah.
She looks at the video and she says, let's get you to bed. No, she says, let's get you to bed. I wrote that down. Yeah. I don't remember that, but
that's why she takes, that's why they're in bed.
Cause she takes her parents to bed. Yeah. Got it. Okay. So the group now is like, dudes, we've got to go. And, they're trying to leave.
James freaks out.
James is like,
and he takes off
and he's like breaking apart. He's like cracking. Yeah. He's like, crack. You know, it's like that trick that is in movies. Yeah. And then he starts floating.
Well, he like busts out into the open, right?
And he starts floating
outside
in
the warehouse,
air.
And then he gets lifted into the air.
And
he's like,
and what happens to him? Does he just like stay there?
Well,
in the air?
It's like they cut to the girl, and she's like,
oh, they run to Catherine after that.
Yeah,
they see him floating. They're like, uh oh. They run to Catherine, and then
and she's doing it.
Right, she's doing it, and then she starts saying to them, like, "You must accept this. Your souls are mine." And then all of a sudden, all the lights go out. Right.
Well, they flip them over. She flips them over.
She
flips them over in the sky.
The sky. What are you talking about?
She lifts them up, and she flips them over.
The guy.
Yeah.
Right. James. I'm talking about the lights, though. I thought you meant she flipped the lights over.
Oh, no.
And then all of a sudden, there's all these veins in whose face? I don't know. There's somebody's running. And veins in face. All right, veins in face.
What you do is just, like, your notes are, like, my, bullet, like, points. Your bullet
shit
points.
Point. Yeah, my shit notes.
It's on this is Catherine's Cliff notes. Face.
Okay. Yeah. So she's getting worse because she's becoming more of the demon because she's got James now as one of the four corners of hell, right?
Tramgul.
And so essentially, I think at this moment, she's kind of saying to Mark, Catherine. Catherine says to Mark, if I possess you, Mark, you go to hell and never see your daughter again. But basically, if you make a deal with the devil, I'll deliver you back to your Sarah in heaven.
She makes a deal with them, yeah.
And I'll let you go free, essentially. So she's like, so basically what I need you to do, because what happened was Aide and Hazel ran. And Mark was left there, kind of, I think, in her grip.
Hazel
and Aide had run, and
Hazel and Mark are together in that. In that, when she makes the deal, they're in the room together.
Oh, okay. So essentially, she's like, "I need you to basically give me Hazel and Aide, and then I already have James. So let me have these three. I'll let you go." So James sees George. Is that what happens?
Well, Mark starts to shoot at Hazel.
Mark does? Mark starts to shoot at Hazel?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. I don't remember that at all.
And then she takes off.
Wow. Okay. So she runs and...
She takes off and he turns back to Catherine.
Uh-huh.
And Catherine is like, does her little thing and lifts him up, like...
Lifts Mark up?
Yeah, into the air.
Because she's pissed that he didn't stop her?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So then somebody sees Fat George again. I write that somebody sees George again and said, yeah, oh, I know what it was. Yeah, I put you in the driver's seat. That's what. I remembered that. Okay. So that's why he fucked up. So he did wreck a car, but then what he did was, to not get in trouble for it, he put dead George in the driver's seat. So he's saying to the ghost now, Aide. I said Aide. I'm sorry. Aide.
So he just goes, blamed them.
Aide goes, so I put you in the driver's seat. Yeah. So what? Like, leave me alone. And he's looking for James and finds him completely possessed and floating, and he starts shooting at him and he falls onto the ground. Right. And when this happens, Hazel screams his name, Aide, and says to come on, like, let's go get Mark and get the fuck out. And then, James opens his eyes. Okay. So he had fallen to the ground, but he opens his eyes and, I think they're in the room where they can see that Catherine is gone from the monitor. That's why that was important, right? Yeah. So they see that she's not in the chair anymore. And Mark says, like, don't you get it? There's no way out. I'm skipping around a little bit, or skipping ahead. But basically, he's like, there's no way out. And he takes them back to Catherine. Catherine then was hovering up in the air.
Yeah. And, like Jesus.
Because that's what you do.
With the arms out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. If I could float, I would be doing it all the time. And she says she floats down and she basically, like, throws the fuck out of Hazel and makes Hazel levitate. And at this point, she's bringing her tongue out because...
she wants to infect them all.
She's trying to infect them all and get them. So Mark says he wants to see his daughter again out loud. And when he does that, he unlocks Catherine, okay, from her... The chains that she's locked in. And she goes over and she's essentially, I'm writing, choking Aide and Hazel. And at this moment in time, I guess Mark feels bad for letting this happen. I mean, like, of course. What a fucking flim-flam.
It's like setting up, too, by the way. It's like that for this to happen.
Like, pick one. Do you want to help them or do you want to kill them? So he grabs Catherine and tells the two of them to run. Basically, he's going to walk into the depths of hell to save them now. And he's holding on to her and she tongues him. She gives him the tongue. And, Hazel and Aide start running and
he grabs a shotgun and they start running.
Right. And grabs a shotgun and sees, and at this point, Hazel sees her burned mom pointing, like, in the direction that they can get away, you know, and it's like, hey, go this way. Which way do we go? Which way do we go?
And they go to, like, a sewer or something. It's like a, and it's, like, locked, remember? And he was trying to open it up, and he's like, it's locked. And that's when Catherine comes in the same room.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to get through. Like, this is the way out.
Right, right.
And then Catherine comes in.
And so Mark is now possessed. James is possessed. And they're behind.
Do you remember when she shoots her with a shotgun and she stops?
The bullet? Like it was like the Matrix. Yeah. Bing,
bing. She's like,
yeah, so stupid. So basically Mark and James is behind Catherine now. So she's got her two of three. She only needs one more person behind her. And Hazel ducks into a little tunnel thingy, right?
Well, he finally gets it open, yeah. And he's like, get go.
Aide tells her to get in. And then she thinks Aide's about to get in with her, but he shuts the, like, door. And, you know, out of the grate, he's like, look, you need to go.
Yeah.
And she's, like, screaming. Yeah. She's like, no, you're my man. I love you so much. And then he shoots himself.
Yeah.
And he shoots himself so that Catherine can't take over his spirit or soul, which was quite clever, although sad. And Catherine...
She escapes into the woods.
Oh, right. Because Aide shoots at Catherine. That's when the Matrix bullet thing happens. And then she pushes him back. And then he shoots himself. Yeah. Hazel gets away. She climbs out of the house or whatever. She gets out into the, sorry, the warehouse. She gets into the van.
Yep. She runs down the street.
Which the van must have fucking toppled over, like, right next to the warehouse.
She gets to the van.
She tries to hide.
She tries to hide inside the van.
Which is upside down. Which is not unlike the monster.
Yeah.
That we saw.
Yeah.
That we talked to.
It's like, oh yeah, hide here. It's a perfect place to
hide. In this van that's a sore thumb.
Remember? And she goes in and she, like, opens the door to look. And then there's James and Mark, like, zombified. Like,
they're totally fucked up. Yeah. And
she grabs a wrench, monkey wrench, like a huge monkey wrench.
And she hits him. Well, she's about to, but then mommy, burned mama, comes to save the day. She's like, starts walking through the woods, and she basically, I don't remember how, but I think she sets them on fire somehow or something.
Yeah, they open the door. They open the door.
They open the door. They find
all
her.
And all the tongues are coming out.
It's like a tongue orgy.
Yeah, it's like
a spiky tongue orgy.
Yeah. It's like an
Urusuka
Doji thing, like, you know, it's Japanese anime. It's like a tentacle.
Tentacles,
anime,
yeah.
And then that's when the mom comes to save her.
It was like foreplay, though. They were like, we're just going to let our tongues dance around the air for a little bit.
And all of a sudden,
we're not going to stick it right in.
Someone is, like, lifting Mark and James and throwing them.
Yoinked, I wrote.
Yeah, yeah. They're throwing them. And you're like, what the hell is going on? And then you see, like,
Mama
Amber. Is that what it is? Like, ashes that are like.
Yeah, like the embers.
Embers, yeah. And they're like floating around. Mom's here.
Which we know because it was the thing that they set up for us that whenever the embers are present, mom's present. But what did she burn? I read that she burns them.
Yeah, so she like.
Oh, because she's burning.
She's walking. She's walking and they run up to her and she grabs them both by the neck like. And lights them on fire.
Oh, sweet.
Like
I forgot about that. Okay.
She's like some powerful.
And what's cool is Catherine is kind of like, oh. And at this point, Hazel handcuffs her because remember, this is a kidnapping van. Yeah. So the handcuffs are like attached to the van.
Yep.
So she handcuffs Catherine. And Catherine's like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And Catherine starts to, as you would, bite your own arm off to get out of the handcuffs. And Hazel hits her over the head really hard, starts beating the shit out of her, like going full ham on this bitch. And they even did the effect where there was like blood splatter all over the camera lens, you know? Yeah. And then essentially, she...
she sees her mom burning the other two guys with her magical powers.
But she has to be the one, for whatever reason, to fight off Catherine herself.
Yeah.
Her mom can't help her with Catherine for what? Because I was like, well, why would mom stop there? Like, now she's going to beat the biggest demon of all. Well, she basically throws gasoline
into... That's when she starts to hit her with them. Monkey wrench.
Yeah.
They start fighting, Catherine. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but why did she have to fight her hand...
I don't know.
Like, hand-to-hand combat. So anyway, she throws gas in the van and she lights a fire and the van explodes.
She puts her in the van. She's already in the van. No,
they
fight outside the van.
Oh, she's still attached. Oh, did she get
no,
out?
No, she gets out. She gets,
well,
yeah.
She did chew her she whole chewed, arm off.
Yeah, she chews
okay,
her
okay,
arm
okay,
out.
Got it.
They fight outside the van.
Yeah.
And then she puts her, and when she's like knocked out, she puts her into the van, gets the gasoline.
Because demons can get knocked out.
Yeah. She pours the gasoline over her and then she leaves a trail, like, you know, like outside. Yeah, yeah. And then she lights the trail. And,
oh, that's right. Yeah. And then I've always wanted to do that. Always wanted to do that to see if it works, like how it works?
Oh, no.
Like a little trail of gasoline to something and like let it go.
As a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be too scared to do that. Anyway, she gets away. And what I read on, I didn't realize there were sirens approaching. I think I must have missed that. But, so, way.
And the end. That's how it ends. Oh, my God.
So that was the end. And I think I used to do this. I told Minky earlier. I used to be like, what three movies does this movie remind me of? And I said, so I've already named one of them, 13 Ghosts. Because if you remember, in 13 Ghosts.
I never saw it.
Okay. Yeah. So basically this, well, you should see it. But it collects a bunch of spirits or souls or ghosts. It collects ghosts. And one of them, they all kind of are, they all fit like a kind of a stereotype, right? One of them is, I forget, like a soul that can't move on. And it's the burned mom. Okay. Now, I can't remember if this is in the original William Castle version of 13 Ghosts, but I at least know it's in the remake that was made in whatever, the early
2001.
2000s. Yeah, okay. So there's a mother, and basically the family who is attached to this dead mother gets bamboozled to come and live in this house because essentially the person that's collecting all these ghosts needs that mother's spirit to complete. I think it's to open the eye of hell. Like, they need all the 13 ghosts. So anyway, it's this burned mother, and she essentially saves the day and saves the family while all these other ghosts and spirits are like 100% mean and nasty and like demonic. So it's very similar in that respect.
Shannon Elizabeth is in that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was when she was like kind of right after her famous moment in American Pie. Yeah. So then I'd say it's mixed with Exorcist, of course. I mean, that's easy, right?
Yep.
Or Exorcism of Emily, or just insert any of them. And then Don't Breathe, because it's like what you were saying, a heisty movie gone wrong.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's a mix of those three movies. So in general, I didn't hate it. It was very thin. The plot, the premise was very thin.
You didn't hate it?
I didn't hate it. No. Oh. I didn't hate it. It was fine. It was like I said, all the jump scares were kind of ridiculous. The director clearly, and we, I looked the director up. He is a South African dude, and he's made a few horror films. And he's like, look, when you got a low budget, the best thing to make is a horror movie, because you can get by making a decent horror movie.
Sure.
With a low budget.
It's why Minky's
making one. And you know, I think he's got good intentions, but jump
house
scares.
House on Lorton Street.
House on Lorton Station. I forgot to say the one most important thing, like, because you were like, why is this called House on Willow Street when the whole fucking movie takes place in the warehouse? So we totally missed it, but apparently the demon has picked this house to plague people that live there because it's the furthest point away from the Vatican, which houses a holy relic. So it has to be as far away from something that can probably overpower it as possible. I'm like, okay, that was too buried.
Yeah.
That was way too buried.
Yeah.
We missed it. So you can't call a movie A House on Willow Street and have this like whole, what do you call it? Like mythology behind it without really going into it very well. That they missed, he missed something there. So anyway, and the effects of the people, they were pretty good. The tongue effect was all right.
Yeah, the special effects was good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, however much the budget was.
We don't know. I didn't look it up.
This whiskey is burning my neck. That's how I was coughing.
And I just heard that little like sound in your throat, like.
Yeah.
And now your eyes are tearing. Are you okay?
So the special effects was good. I mean, obviously all the budget went to that, right?
Yeah, totally.
Characters were flat. I mean,
they had like no good enough backstory for you to care about
it.
Anybody
was so predictable,
and for an hour and a half it felt like a fast movie. It did not drag. I mean, they were like flying through things. The reason why it could have been shorter was because of the redundancy and the repetitive nature of all the scenes. Like we didn't need to keep seeing the same shit.
It was predictable.
Right. So I'd say like all in all, I
didn't like it.
I mean, I didn't hate it, but would I recommend it? Like,
I
just to watch as a horror movie?
I can't.
You can't recommend
it? Yeah.
Jeez.
Because look here. There are other movies that are similar to this that's even a lot better. If I was recommending a horror film that's sort of like this, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I can't recommend it, because there are. Because even then, it was like, it wasn't that good.
I know. All right. Well, sorry, South Africa. I really loved visiting you, but you've yet to show me a good movie or good horror movie. Sorry. But right. What are you going to do? So I am pleased to say that this listener mail is actually referencing a movie that I've kind of referenced already in this episode, which is fun. Listener mail.
Yeah.
And this is a little different. This guy didn't actually write us, but I found...
He did. Not through email, but he wrote us.
Well, yeah. I mean, he and I messaged back and forth. But essentially, I saw a post from somebody we follow, Frights_Templar, had asked everybody to post the first memory that they had of a horror movie. Which is very much like what we ask
originally,
of you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he got a lot of answers, and this one just caught my eye. And so his name on Instagram is Unimonster64. And he says, earliest I can clearly remember was William Castle's 13 Ghosts. And I was probably 4 or so, and my older sister was watching a Saturday afternoon matinee in her room on an ancient 13-inch black and white portable that probably weighed 50 pounds. I laid in her bed with her and watched, hiding my eyes every time. This reminds me of you, right? Like you and your sister when you talked about watching stuff together?
Yeah.
Hiding my eyes every time someone put on their ghost viewer to make the spirits visible. So basically, you can't see the ghosts until you put this viewer over your eyes, and then you can see the ghosts.
Gimmicky.
I know, but I love it. From that moment, I was hooked. I still kid her about being responsible for my horror addiction. That was nearly 50 years ago, but I still have to have my daily fix. Love it. So I loved the comment. I asked him if we could share this. He said absolutely, which was totally cool. And not only that, but he said, if you're interested, you might also check out my website. And I was like, oh, cool. So it's unimonsterscrypt.blogspot.com. I'll spell that if you... can't understand what I'm saying because I said it poorly. UNI monsterscrypt.blogspot.com. He says he hasn't been able to update it in a while, but there's definitely some good reading on here. And I checked it out, and I wanted to share just this one post that he posted about this time last year. I won't read the whole thing at all, but basically this one kind of touched my heartstrings because he talks about how adults measure time and dates, and that, you know, it's like the date of your mortgage payment is due each month, your next physical, your next business trip. I can tell you that is 100% true right now in my life. And then children measure time and events, like the time you broke your arm climbing a tree, the Christmas you got a BB gun, the grade you were in when you had your first kiss. And kind of the short of it is that, you know, for him, kind of Halloween, I think it's actually, I'm going to read the last line, but I've never known pure happiness like Halloween nights when I was a child. And there's actually, I think this is a picture of him when he was a kid in his Halloween costumes, but Dr. Death, is that this picture maybe? I don't know. But in any case, it's like measuring time with Halloweens, and here we are close to Halloween. So I figured that was a perfect blog post to find
that month
so,
as well.
Anyhow, I don't actually know if I know this guy's real name, but Unimonster, thank you so much for letting us read your
post.
Thank
you.
I thought it was really fascinating, actually, that yours happened to be the post that we were going to read on the night where I was like, oh, 13 Ghosts is like the burning mom in this thing. And, you know, shout out to William Castle's version. I know that the remake and...
You saw the original, by the way?
Long time ago. Oh. And I hate that the 2001 version sticks out more in my head right now because it was just so...
Naturally.
Like, I know, but I hate it because like William Castle was just such a... He did so many cool things. There was like, I don't know, you know, he, before that movie came out, he did a like promo video. He was just so like into, he was such a showman, you know, he basically was promoting the movie, And he was like, do you believe in ghosts? Because I believe in ghosts. And he's like in his office and there's a skeleton. And he's like, if you do believe in ghosts, you're going to use these glasses like in the theater. Yeah. Stuff, well, that was the same time period, right? And he's like, if you... It was. He was like, if you believe in ghosts, you're going to, when the screen turns blue in the movie theater, you're going to look through this part of the lens. And if you don't, I don't remember which one I just said, but if you do believe or don't believe in ghosts, you're going to look through this other screen. So basically he took a piece of the movie and he brought it to people in real life. And I mean, this was, I forget what year it was. I kind of want to say it was 1960,
white,
but,
so.
You know, it's like, wait, was it 19? Hold on. I got to look it up now. Oh. Sorry.
Okay. I'll keep you guys entertain and yeah. occupy while she looks it up.
1960, I was right. So 1960, and he, I don't know, he was just so great. He was so good about marketing his movies, and he was fun. He was having fun with his movies, and he did some of the kind of the coolest flicks of that time. So anyway, if you haven't seen it, maybe, can we, how about this? One of the next, like somewhere down the line, excuse me, one of the movies that we do at some point, can we do like an old school one, like a black and white? I have a ton. Actually, I bought that $40 DVD
set. Did you watch all of it?
No, I haven't watched any of it yet. Let's watch it together. Okay, great. So Halloween is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And also, if you want to write
special.
Us, please, can you guys please write us? Because I love reading this. And to read his...
That sounded a little desperate.
Sorry, I'm just going to go back really fast. Write us, if you're listening. What was the first memory you had of a horror movie when you were a kid? Were you hiding under your parents? Were you hiding under your sheets? Were you hiding under your bed? Mm. Whatever it was, write it. And because I believe that all of us have some memory, some little nugget that had some great effect on us. And like this guy said, it made him turn it, like want a daily horror fix every day, which guess what, guys? Guess what we're going to give you guys? We're going to give you a daily horror fix.
We're going to try.
We're going to try anyway. We're going to commit to trying, which is as good as you're going to get right now. So basically, we had this idea that for the entire month of October, we are going to do something called like, well, it's One Final Scare is the umbrella, obviously, because it's the podcast. But like
one we haven't favorite figured this, or one
no, no,
final.
One final. Yeah. So it'll be like one final vampire movie. And then Mickey and I are going to come to the table. It'll be like a 5 to 10 minute episode each day in the month of October.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, he and I are not going to talk beforehand. And we're going to come with like our favorite, essentially, vampire movie. So it's a subgenre, category, whatever specific thing that we're going to do each day.
It's almost like a listicle, but it's just going to be two.
But it's just going to be two.
Or one, I mean one.
And then essentially, we're going to basically fight to say why ours is... Yeah, we're going to debate like why mine was better than yours.
We can discuss that.
That's what I was saying earlier. Because that's why it means it's one final vampire movie. Because then it's going to be like whose was better.
One final Korean horror film. Yeah. I'm going to win.
Okay. I'm going to get better. So, right. So that's what we're going to do. And, but we are also like our next big episode, meaning like full length and regular one, will be It. And Minky's never seen the original, but we'll do kind of a comparison of the original and the new one,
sucked.
Which we both saw. You're a fucking liar. I loved it, just so you know. So go watch the movie. Wait, go watch the movie, It. If you haven't already, what are you doing? Go now. Go watch it.
And we'll recap and analyze it.
We'll recap and analyze it. I don't know exactly when we'll be doing that, but October 1st, stay tuned and listen every single day for our little debates about the best movie. Hey, right. Email us. onefinalscare@gmail.com and find us on Instagram and Facebook.
And One Final Scare under both of those.
One Final Scare. And hey, if you need anything from us, you want anything from us, email us. You know, whatever.
Go buy our merch.
Redbubble. All right, love you guys.
This is Minky signing off.
And this is Tracy.
Bye.
Peace out.